Welcome to this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Painted Petal. I'm Maggie Fisher. I'm the owner of this historic boutique guest house in Trexlertown, Pennsylvania. This is my crazy project that's basically a dollhouse that you can stay in and stay overnight, have a party. This is also full of surprises. Every single thing in the house is either upcycled, pulled off the curb, or thrifted. You'd have to stay here for a month to see it all. But it's the perfect place in the valley to just unwind, relax, and kind of tune everything out because everything in here is so immersive, you're never gonna wanna leave. So one of the original things about the house that just made it irresistible to me was all of this crazy ornate leaded glass. Some of it was boarded up. The front door was completely bowed out, so you couldn't really open and close the door without losing a piece of glass. So I called no less than 25 different glass makers. Nobody would touch them. So it was kind of hopeless. And it was at the point where I thought, I'm going to have to replace all this with like regular glass. So the last guy that I called stood right where I'm standing, looked around and said, I know this design. My great grandfather made these. These were made at the Neuf Chateau Glass Studio in Allentown right around 1910. And I was like, oh my God, it sure was. How did you know that? And he literally took every window, every pane, everything out of this house, brought it back to Allentown, and repaired it on the same bench it was made in 110 years ago. And that, to me, told me, like, okay, we were supposed to do this. My mom worked in a flower shop up the street, and so I drove by this place all the time and always loved it. I spent about 25 years away from the area, and I moved back here during COVID with my husband and my kids. And one of the first things I wanted to do was really kind of fulfill my dream of fixing up an old house. And coincidentally, this house came on the market. It had been sitting for a really long time. Unfortunately, it fell into pretty advanced disrepair. I came to see it, walked in the front door, and it was literally raining in here. It was about as far gone as a house can get before it just gets scraped into a landfill. And when I walked in, I just felt like I could see it completely finished. I felt like I was looking at a masterpiece that just needed some polish because it wasn't a property that we were looking to just make beautiful. We wanted like the most historically accurate restoration that we could pull off. So this is kind of the, we call it the music room just because this was as far into the house as we could get the piano. But when people have parties here, they hire a musician and it just makes for really cool ambiance and people love to walk in and see someone playing a baby grand piano. This is the Edison phonograph that made its way back here after many years. It does work. It plays all kinds of awesome records. So this is kind of a big hit when people have private events here. They're able to entertain everybody with this bad boy. The house was built from 1908 to 1910 by a man named George Snyder, who was an absolute craftsman when it came to woodworking. Everything is made from 100% chestnut. If you're super nerdy like me, you'll understand how rare that is. So I knew underneath all the rubble, there was a story here. It was apparent that it hadn't had electricity or running water for maybe ever. There was really no working electric except for maybe a couple of outlets. The little trail of fire that goes down the wall, that's real. Because there was really nothing here that was safe or usable at all. I actually named it the Painted Petal because the first couple of weeks that I was here, I spent my time taking down all of this wallpaper that had been painted over, and I was just covered in what looked like flower petals, but they were actually just super toxic lead paint. So, but underneath, I could see the original wallpaper. I could see that this house had been really, really loved and a lot of care was put into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's my next question is, what was the other option? Were there any other buyers? Like, what was going on here?
My understanding was that it was going to be purchased and converted into a drive-through bank. I was the last person to see it before it was essentially going to be torn down. When I looked at the property, I looked at it with my dad and my brothers and some friends, and it was just a parade of people behind me going, Mag, don't. There's nothing here that could be saved. We ended up saving it all. There's literally nothing in here that we had to refabricate or fake, for lack of a better word. We hand scraped, hand stripped, refinished everything in this house. This is our dining room. So we can seat anywhere from 6 to 12 people. We'll set the table with all this beautiful china. And this actual dining room set, we pulled off the curb. It took about a month of elbow grease, but now people walk in here and wonder, you know, how many tens of thousands of dollars did we pay for this? And the answer was, you know, it cost hauling it over here from the garbage and just a whole lot of like mineral spirits from Home Depot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was literally in the trash. I just felt like, if I could make people feel what I felt when I walked in here, then mission accomplished. Even a super high-end hotel, you're not gonna be able to walk around and find magazines from the 20s or, you know, newspaper articles from 1910 that even reading them today, it just makes you feel like, okay, it's crazy out there, but it's always been crazy and we got through it. So it's almost like an interactive museum, if that makes sense. When I made the decision to restore this, that means not having a modern kitchen. So when you stay here, you know, you have to really go all the way into 1910 and realize you're not going to have a dishwasher. But we do have like the original sink. The refrigerator is from the 20s. This thing absolutely works, keeps everything freezing cold. And it's basically from like World War I. This stove is not original to the house, but this is what would have been here at the time. It's a little bit intimidating. So people that are staying here, we have to teach them like, okay, it's okay to smell gas for like a second. You know, you turn the burner on, you hit the button. And yeah, it looks scary, but it's an amazing stove that actually works. We've had lots of caterers come in here, use this and absolutely love it. People, when they found out that I was going to be renting this out and allowing people to book stays here, all anybody could say was, are you crazy? People are going to destroy this place. You can't have this kind of furniture, artwork. And what I found was, you know, we've had lots and lots of guests. We've had a Russian rock band. We've had 15 snowboarders. We've had weddings here. Every single time, it was as immaculate as I left it. Everyone has just had no problem treating this place like it was their grandma's house. And then this table, interestingly enough, again, we pulled this out of the garbage. And it turned out to be like a really unique antique folding table. So we didn't have to do a lot to it, but it fit the space perfectly. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, what were we going to put here? And then all of a sudden, a couple days later, we find this in someone's garbage.
We're gonna follow you around trash picking.
Yeah, yeah, seriously.
You said surprises and weirdness and all that. Talk about the explosives, because that's a fun,
yeah,
fun story now, not a fun story then. So walk us through that.
Yeah, so about 2 weeks in, when we took possession of the property, there really wasn't anything left in here. Everything had been pretty, you know, pretty well removed. My dad and I were here. We went down in the basement. So there were these two just monster oil tanks down there that we were down there trying to figure out, okay, who are we going to have come out here, cut these up and get them out. I looked and I saw what I thought were some really cool old fruit crates. I could see kind of the old style, like tongue and groove construction and all these bright colors. And on the side of one of the crates, it says, high explosives dangerous. It must be like, you know, some cute campaign to sell fruit. And then I open the top of it and there's a bunch of hay and these kind of things that looked like just big balls of clay. So my dad looked at it and he's like, wow, that almost looks like dynamite. I kind of like peeked behind the oil tank where there were like 20 more crates. So we picked up a few more of them. We're looking inside. Now I'm seeing things that look like cartoon dynamite, like you'd see on Looney Tunes with like the little canister and a fuse coming out. Luckily, we're like 100 yards from the fire station here in Trexlertown. Let's just call the fire department anyway. Everybody that showed up was great, but they're super young guys. So then luckily they call the fire chief, and the fire chief kind of took one look at us and then started evacuating the neighborhood. They ended up calling out the fine gentlemen of the Allentown Bomb Squad. And then we started seeing all of these trucks show up and start lining up. And they looked like they had like ceramics kilns on the back of them. And it turned out that those were special like armored vehicles that could transport like 2 pounds at a time. They just had trucks pulling up, guys in what looked like beekeeping suits, dropping stuff into the back. And then off they went down 78 to the arsenal. and hauled out about 44 pounds of live, extremely real, extremely unstable TNT from the Trojan Powder Works in Allentown, which actually did end up exploding. So here we are. We just bought this place. We're looking already at almost insurmountable costs to restore it. And now we're sitting on top of the kind of explosives that could have taken out everything from the Velodrome to Wendy's. But yeah, they pushed all the news outlets out of here that day, so we didn't think anybody knew about it, but one guy got in. Did you feel the valley shake yesterday? Well, here's where it came from. And then they did like a whole story about how we found all this dynamite.
Well, it's not like you did the correct thing if you find dynamite.
We almost threw in the dumpster.
I'm sure you figured it out.
So yeah, we figured out one of the sons of the man that built the house actually worked at the Trojan Powder Works. And for whatever reason, unknown to me, hoarding it and hiding it under an oil tank behind a furnace. Mm-hmm. Like basically the most ridiculous scenario is what was going on down there. And I do get a couple of questions now and then about like, what's with the dynamite boxes? We've got about 50 of those things. But yeah, we started like nicknaming it our Air TNT after that, because it was just like, yeah. Another big part of this house is the bathrooms. These were totally restored back with their original equipment. The only things that we ended up having to replace were the toilets, just because, you know, whether or not they were packed with dynamite, they were definitely not safe to use.
You said you're a designer, right?
Yes.
What do you specialize in?
So I grew up painting and, you know, really doing more traditional fine arts, but I went to school for graphic design. So my whole career was in art direction, creative direction. Like, we assumed that it went through a pretty thorough process. When the previous owner died, I was told that a lot of stuff got thrown in dumpsters and people were kind of just pulling up and taking things off the property. When people saw lights come on here and saw we were doing work, people started to return some of those things. The record player that's behind me, someone dropped on my porch and found my information and sent me a note saying, hey, we took this, it was free, it was in the garbage, but now that we see the house is being brought back to life, we thought it belonged here. I've had people walk in and say, I have a china set that belonged to my grandmother that belongs here, and the next day it shows up on my porch. Everything here is authentic and period, but it was also carried here by people who really believed in what we were doing. And that was a huge part of how we were able to pull it off. Because it was one thing to do the restoration, there's also a lot of cost to keep this place going. No, never. No, this was always going to be, you know, where I would do the restoration and just something would happen or something would kind of materialize that would tell me what to do. We had people come here and say, oh my gosh, you know, my sister's getting married. Is there any way the bridal party could stay here? I was like, yeah, absolutely they could. Or, you know, we've had people come here who want to do a tea party. I have so much china, it was kind of like a no-brainer that, yeah, we could set up some amazing tea parties here. The piano that's behind me, that one was interesting too. That a man just said, you know, I wanted this piano out of my house. It's super valuable. It needs to live somewhere. I paid to have it brought here. And then all of a sudden, as we were posting pictures, people would reach out and, can I teach piano lessons here? So it was kind of one of those things where I had one idea about how this place would be used, but people are kind of determining that for me. So far, you know, some of them have been, you know, kind of obvious, like I want to have a girls' night here, or I just need a break and I want to relax in what looks just like my grandma's house for a couple days.
What's that on the wall?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting piece. I was in here one day, again, just pulling down all the wallpaper, and I saw this writing on the wall. It says, decorated by Joseph A. Snyder and William Dorward, March 29th, 1929. So these two guys came in here, put up all this beautiful wallpaper. The family paid to have this house just like really beautified. And then the stock market crashed and we sailed into the depression. This furniture was donated by a woman out toward Kutztown. This is all handmade by her grandfather. So this furniture was made probably less than 10 miles from here. But then because people have to like actually be able to enjoy their time here, we do have super high speed internet, and you'll see things all over the house that look like paintings, but they're actually TVs. So you can still stream whatever you need to and not kind of lose the vibe. Yeah, no, we actually do have a microwave. It just looks like an antique. There's always been a little bit of the supernatural going on here simply because of the way things came together. There were things that happened here that were just so crazy coincidental. We had a show reach out to us that specializes in paranormal investigations. At first, I was really hesitant because that was not in my mindset when I put this place together. The more we had guests staying overnight, the more I was getting a lot of really similar stories from people that don't know each other, but they're both telling me that they overheard a couple arguing in German. Or we've had contractors that, you know, I thought they took off because it was a lot of work. It was because they got scared. We've had reports of this couple that no one has really laid eyes on that I know of, but they can hear them talking in here all the time. They'll hear someone going up and down the stairs, and then they'll hear it upstairs. So it's kind of like footsteps going around the house and people talking, almost like there's a party going on here that we can't see. It's only certain people. And if you're sensitive to that kind of thing, I think just because of the vibe, because there is so much stuff here with stories attached that you can't help but overhear some of it.
This is the library. So this is kind of, most people say this is their favorite room because it's just such a relaxing place to chill. All of these books, again, I came up to work on the house one day and someone had left this huge box that just said, here, take these. So I opened it up and it was all these just amazing antique books.
Sure, yeah, just like classics.
Yep. This book was for this house.
Oh, yeah, I wish you could smell this.
Yeah. But this was all like the original wallpaper that was in the house.
Yeah.
So they kind of left like this little guidebook. So there's so much cool stuff you could just spend the day sitting in here reading. Once I started to talk about having people stay here and it being kind of like, you know, a bed and breakfast without an innkeeper, the whole neighborhood couldn't have been more supportive. People came over all the time saying, hey, can we see the updates? What's going on? So everyone around here was super invested in making this place a success. McCall's next door was amazing. I mean, we would, of course, be over there eating. This place, definitely, you need a few beers after, you know, some of the days we had here. But the neighborhood couldn't have been more supportive. Where we ran into some issues is just because of how unconventional this was, there were no zoning laws that supported what we wanted to do. So if we were, say, like a motel or something conventional, like a bed and breakfast that you rent by the room and you have an innkeeper, no problem. We would have been allowed to do that. But the issue was that we were renting the entire house as kind of the product, and we didn't have a stranger on site as an innkeeper. So conceptually, everybody understands like the Airbnb concept, but this was going to be more than that. It was almost like a history museum that you sleep over at.
It's still fun too because my grandma's house had these.
Yeah, those are original. We stuck with the push buttons. We replaced all the knob and tube so, you know, nothing burns down. Again, another bathroom, cool soaking tub, but we put showers in because, you know.
Americans.
Exactly, we can be reasonable. But you'll find a lot of like funny ads around. Super rare for a house this age. For some reason, when they built it, they had all these walk-in closets. So we converted them to little dressing rooms.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to get ready for a wedding or an event, we've got all these really cool little dressing rooms you can use. Or you can chill on the window seat and watch races at the Velodrome. This room has probably my favorite thrift find. This furniture in this room, I found this on Marketplace without a price. And, you know, I asked the guy, what do you want for it? It's a very rare, like, bird's eye maple. So I was expecting the price tag to be ridiculous. So the guy showed up with the furniture without me even saying I really was going to pay for it or not. I told him we were trying to do a restoration and that this furniture would be part of a 1910 home. And he was like, all right, this definitely belongs here. I'm going to bring it up and then I'll tell you the story about the furniture. And I'm still thinking like, oh my God, he's going to get it in the house. It's going to be a fortune. And now it can't go anywhere. He brings it up, sets it up and says, okay, I have a letter for you from Woodrow Wilson to my great-grandparents, giving this to them as a wedding present. Didn't charge me a dollar, told me the story and left. I think they must have lived, you know, somewhere where they crossed paths. I got the feeling that they worked together at some point.
Wow.
We've become this kind of wayward home for antiques and furnishings no one wants. Yeah.
Nice furniture.
Exactly. We don't have any more space, so please don't drop any more on my porch.
That's super door in here.
It is one of the first cedar closets ever made. Oh. Yeah. When we went in there, we uncovered it and it still had the brochure in it. This is another one of our bedrooms with just everything in here literally came out of the garbage again. But I promise you it smells great and it's all been refurbished.
That's her, she had a style. Out of the garbage.
Yeah, yeah. Trash fabulous. The roof on the house, the garage, and the chicken coop were all heavy slate that was too far gone to save.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's out there now is actually made out of recycled tires.
That's cool.
Yeah, it looks like slate. You would never know, it's a fraction of the weight. No matter how many permits I filled out or explanations I gave, when you have something like this, it's really hard to fit it into the existing laws. So we had to seek a special exception through Upper Macungie, which took a really long time. And luckily, you know, the council at Upper Macungie, I think they all saw the value in what we were doing, and they saw that this was going to be a good thing. All of our neighbors showed up to the hearing just to say, yes, this is exactly the kind of business we want in this neighborhood. Unfortunately, even when it came to getting inspections done, in this area, there are a lot of larger industrial kind of warehouse builds going on. So most of the infrastructure here is built to kind of push those kind of projects through.
TNT under there?
Yeah. We couldn't have done more to make ourselves look bad in the beginning.
You're the haunted exploding place?
Yeah. It's a haunted bunker. What could go wrong? This was like the original, it was a chicken coop and an outhouse. And so what we did was it was sitting on this foundation. We picked it up and moved it and just kind of turned it into like a little party room. We'll set up like a little bar. And if you're having a barbecue or you're having a party, this opens up. You have this great view and then it serves as like a bar so you can serve through here. It's actually really nice in the summer. And then we got all these stained glass windows. This woman posted again on Marketplace that she was tearing down a house and had all these stained glass windows. So she just brought them over here. But yeah, I mean, in the end, like, I think it was a really great day, not just for us, but I think for the neighborhood, knowing that these kind of things were possible. And I think we helped pave the way a little bit in an area or a township that doesn't have a lot of these, how to treat it. So if you know, everybody in the Valley is always talking about like, oh my God, what's happening to our historic homes? What's happening to all of these beautiful farms and buildings? Well, your local municipality probably doesn't have the process to deal with this. So even if you get someone who's like, hey, you know, I want to fire all my money into a brick wall and do a renovation like this, it's not easy for them to say yes. So the more of these we can stand up and the more of these we can prove as a success, I think all the laws and all the zoning ordinances will change because the end result is just something so different and so beautiful and so useful that they can't help but say yes in the future.
How long did this take from you making the decision, I'm going to do it, to?
I mean, if we had known what we were doing, it should have taken a year, but it took us 2.5 years because we had no idea what we were doing. I'm hoping if I guinea pig this for other people, they'll have the courage to purchase a house like this. Maybe not go as insane as I did here, but give people hope that, you know, you can handle a restoration. It is worthwhile. You don't have to build something new. You can take something that's beautiful and restore it and end up with just an amazing place to live or an amazing place as an investment. But I think I just wanted to come back and show that it can be done.
This is Crystal from Lehigh Valley with Love. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.